see the full picture, don't you? So we need to see the full picture of what has been going on Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday. We need to know about those 3 days, don't we? And so often today we think that people know what went off on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Because of my generation and probably the generation after me, Zena's generation and Philip's generation, were taught in school and Sunday school. But after that, I'm not so sure where you go with it from there. A few people were and a few weren't. So we need to listen to the full story. So we're going to have the full story today. So we're just going to go through the story. And we put the chairs like this because we can be, what shall we say, spectators on the story. But at the same time, we can see one another. In other words, you know, it's about good to see one another, isn't it? It's good to see you. And so as we read the word together, we're going to bless one another. But at the same time, we're going to probably sense some of the presence of the hurting and the wounding that Jesus suffered. Why have you sat on that back row? I'll move the chairs, but I think it's far easier for me to move you. Come on this front row. Remove the barrier. Come on the front row. Remove the barrier. Glory to God. Otherwise we'll do what the Orthodox Church does and have no chairs whatsoever. Praise God forever and ever. Hey, come on, you backsliders. What are you doing? Sat it back there. Your office is there, I know. Yes, I can see you. Graham. Get your backside.
Praise God.
You know. Talk about a rebellious, disobedient, stiff-necked generation. Still biblically correct, isn't it? Oh, dear me. Oh. I can whip to you and give you a good flailing. Hallelujah. I suppose I ought to just move this to here. Hi, come in, grab a seat. Right, our first reading. Sit on the front row, don't sit on the back row. There's no seats on the back row. Come and sit on the next row. Come on. Fill the front seats. Our first reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And
when it was evening on the first day of the week, the followers were together. The doors were locked because they were afraid of the older leaders. Then Jesus came and stood right in the middle of them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The followers were thrilled when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus...
Praise God. Have you got it, brother? Have you found it? I'm not going to give you that 1 to 35. We'll not do that. In fact, shall I read that first part and then I'll kick off from there and then you can follow on from there, okay? Let's read the full story of what's happening. This is the Jesus is actually preparing his disciples. This is how unselfish Jesus is. He's actually beginning preparation for his disciples in what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's preparing them for the future.
Yeah.
Guess what? God is preparing you for the future.
Yes.
All you have to do is to respond to the word of God.
Amen.
And to what God is saying and what God is doing.
Yeah.
And so this is just before the Passover time now. Before, this is in verse 13 of chapter 13 of John's Gospel and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own, and who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet,
Amen.
And to wipe them with a towel which he girded. And he also came to Simon Peter and said unto he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do not wash my feet. Jesus said unto him, what I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand thereafter. Peter said unto them, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you will have no part with me.
Yeah.
Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto him, he who has bathed needs not only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. And so then he washed their feet, and taking his garments and reclined at the table again, and said to them, do you not know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. If you do not speak of all... I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Now therefore I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know which one he was speaking. Then reclining on Jesus' breast, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, Simon Peter therefore gestured to him and said to him, tell us who it is whom he is speaking. He leaned back thus on Jesus' breast and said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus therefore answered and said, the one, that is the one whom I shall dip this morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the morsel, Satan entered into him. And Jesus therefore said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now, no one there, reclining at the table, knew for what purpose Jesus had said this to him. But some were supposing, because Jesus had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things we have need of for the feast, or else that we should give some money to the poor. And so after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. When therefore he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I say also unto you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you,
amen,
that you love one another,
yeah,
even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen.
Amen.
Very important that you have love for one another. You know, the Orthodox Church teaches sometimes does actually have a foot washing service. Maybe we'll have one of those one day. Yeah, foot washing service. So, and Jesus is sharing with the disciples and showing them how much he cares for them, how much he loves them. And we're setting the stage of what is going to happen. This is preparation. This is Friday. So Leon, if you come and carry on for me, please, from there. Continuing in John's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 36, please.
Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Where am I going? You cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Okay, you follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Right. 14, chapter 14. Okay. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Jesus, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, absolutely fantastic, isn't it? And we have to rejoice in that and stay with that, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Exciting. We have a destiny, we have a future, and thank God for that. Daniel is going to come and read for me. He's going to just fill in for somebody who's not arrived. And he's going to bring that next reading from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. Thank you, Daniel. Has everyone got it? Good. So we're reading from verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass for him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you sleeping? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. Then he came back. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Sorry.
Jesus is praying and asks his disciples, asks you and me to pray. One of the hardest things that we can ever do is pray. I can guarantee you'll think about something else when you start to pray. You start to feel tired. Oh, did I turn the gas off on the oven? Oh, did I turn the light out? Did I turn this off? Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I was going to do that. And all the time your mind is being attacked. The disciples fell asleep, not realizing the importance of prayer at that time. And we need to realize the importance of prayer for our lives and for the things of the kingdom of God. And Jesus prays through. And then we move on and we come to St. John's Gospel, chapter 18 and verses 2 to 9. All these scriptures are actually on the front of that booklet I've given you. And Pauline is going to come and read from there for me, please.
Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore he again asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way, to fulfill the word which he spoke of those whom you have given me, I lost not one." Amen.
Notice one of the keys here. Jesus is concerned about his disciples. He's not even thinking about himself. His concern is for his disciples. Constantly. He's constantly looking to the cause and the needs of others. Now we're just in the booklet that you've been given. If we will turn to the first station. This is something that we don't normally do. This is something that is in the Orthodox Church and some and Catholic churches to some degree, and even in Church of England. And these are about the stations of the cross. So we're going to just follow through this timeline. Very often the reason for the pictures in the church is as a visual reminder. A picture tells a story, doesn't it? You and I can stand around and begin to describe a picture and it would take quite a while. What's that saying? A picture paints a thousand words. And as we look at it, and yet every one of us will see something different within a picture. And so, you know, the pictures are in there just as a reminder. And just to bring, as we in this generation often work in pictures and TVs and videos and DVDs, often very much is pictures to us, isn't it? Would somebody like to just turn to, for me, I don't know if I've got that scripture down for anybody. Oh, I have, I believe. Yes, I have. It's Melanie's turn. Come on, Melanie. Thank you.
Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money and buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord had commanded me.
Thank you. This is Judas, who Jesus gave that sop to. And he goes out and he begins to betray his master and his friend, not realizing really properly what he was doing. Easy to make mistakes. But he made a big mistake that day. Chose the money rather than the master. Let's have our next reading, which is going to be given to us by Ivy in Matthew 27 and verses 11 through to 23.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply. Not even a single charge, to the great amazing of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd got gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas, and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then to do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. but they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, and he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." I'm reading too far, aren't I? All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
The meaning of the name Barabbas means son of man. I'll say that again. The meaning of the name Barabbas means son of man. The problem is, who do I release? And they called for the son of man, not for the son of God. Now then, that's something to think about and take home with you. When you really need, call upon the Son of God,
amen,
not the sons of men.
Yeah.
And he will deliver you and set you free. Now let's look at our first page at the stations. Jesus was standing before angry people who were yelling and are saying meanful, hurtful things to him. They're screaming at him. Some of them tell lies about him, saying that he did bad things. But Jesus stays quiet, even though he knows he will be hurt. He knows that God is with him. He even asks God to help him forgive the people who are yelling and telling lies about him. Let's look into our hearts. Has anyone ever been meanful or hurtful, said hurtful things about you? Or has anyone ever told a lie about you? If someone did that to you, would you look at your heart and see how you felt? Maybe you were scared, hurt, or maybe you felt very angry. When you see how you feel, show your heart to Jesus. See Jesus loving you when you show him what happens in your heart. Then when you are ready, you can ask Jesus to help him make your heart more like his. Maybe you want to ask Jesus to help you to remember that God is always with you.
Yes.
God is always with you.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you." And I want us just to, at this time, together, just pray this short prayer together. Now this needs practice, this. So you have to listen to one another. Right? Not rush on. So easy to rush on, isn't it? So we'll just gently pause and work our way through, can't we? All-powerful and eternal God, you have given us a model to us, Christ your Son, our Saviour, who became a man, was humiliated unto death on the cross. Grant that we may always keep present before us the lesson he taught us by his passion, so that we may share in the glory of his resurrection, whose lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. You did good then. Right, we're going to have another reading, and Zena's bringing that next reading from Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 through to 31. Thank you, Zena.
When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
Here's a man who's done nothing wrong. Here's a man who's been helping people, and suddenly he's been mocked, beaten and abused. Let's look at the second station. Let's look at Jesus. When the soldiers put a big heavy cross on Jesus' shoulder, Jesus doesn't fight with them or say angry words to them. He knows that he has to carry this cross a long way. And he knows that the way will be very hard for him in times. But Jesus knows that God is with him, and he asks God to help him to carry his cross, even though it's heavy. Let's look at our hearts again. Have you ever had something happen that was very hard for you? Sometimes children are very sick, or someone in their family is very sick. Sometimes adults or older children do not treat younger children nicely. Sometimes we can't have things the way we want. Some of this is written towards children, as you can see. But the Bible says that we are to come as little children. And in some areas, some adults have hurt adults and not treated adults nicely at times. But let's take some time to look at what your heart is like. What happens? Then when you see what your heart is like, show your heart to Jesus. See Jesus loving you when you show him what has happened in your heart. When you are ready, you can ask Jesus to help make your heart more like his heart. It's all about becoming more like Jesus. More like Jesus in every area of our lives. This crucifixion was a hard thing for Christ, but it was to make an easy way for you and me. Would Grace come and read for me, please? Matthew chapter 27, from verse 32. And just probably read the first two or three verses, and then we'll move on to the third station, and then you can come back and read the rest, really. Thank you.
As they went out, there came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they also offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. And when they crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots.
I'm going too early. That's okay. Gone too early, but that's okay. I just want to read Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gain the whole world and forfeits his soul? or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, so many people these days are after things. Constantly chasing after things all the time. And yet the ultimate goal is to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, to make Jesus Lord and Saviour, and to let Jesus direct your life day by day. To submit to his plans and purposes for your life, and to let him be the Lord of your life. And he's dying for you and for me at this time. To bring that so that we can walk in the fullness of life and in his blessings. If we look at the third station, here we find Jesus with his cross. He walks along the heavy road, along the road with a heavy cross on his shoulder. He keeps the cross keeps pushing into his shoulder. The stony road. I mean, the roads in those days were not like the road today. They were tough cobbles. Have you walked on those things? And they're uneven. Can you imagine carrying a weight on your back and staggering? And yet he's been, bear in mind, he's been whipped, he's been beaten at this time. He's bleeding. And there he, and he's had no sleep for the last 24 hours. And people are pushing him and yelling at him. And the soldiers are shouting for him to move faster. And Jesus falls and the soldiers yell at him more, probably beat him some more. How tired Jesus is. Jesus prays in his heart, God, remember me. Help me to remember that you are here. In that situation, Jesus is still reaching out to God. Just look at how, let's look at our hearts. Do you ever fall? When you were playing, children. Or when you were helping with something. Falling really hurts, doesn't it? When people make mistakes, it's like falling. Anybody made a mistake? Hurts sometimes, doesn't it? And we feel guilty and we often beat ourselves up, don't we? And when that happens, their heart sometimes feels like it's hurt. Every one of us has been there. This is part of some of the sufferings that Jesus has suffered for you and for me. Can you remember a time when you fell? When your heart felt hurt? As you remember that time, and now look how your heart felt. Show your heart to Jesus. See Jesus loving you as you show him your heart and your feelings. When you are ready, you can ask Jesus to help make your heart more like his. Let's just ponder for a moment on those thoughts and just quietly pause. Just give those hurts to Jesus. He said he took all our pain, he took all our sorrows, he took all our griefs. This is part of the process of the walk to Golgotha. Jesus is going through that process so that you and I might know his compassion and his gentleness and his love towards us. So that we might know his the power of the forgiveness of God for our lives and the care of God for our lives. Let's move on to the fourth station. Here we see a picture of Jesus and Mary's mother. She must have been totally confused about what was going on. The anguish and the agony. And maybe these words came back to her from St. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 34. When Jesus was taken to the temple as an 8-day-old baby, And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." As Jesus walks slowly with the cross on his shoulder, a woman comes up to him, and it's his mother Mary. Can you imagine the mother's feeling? How sad she feels towards her own son. And you know what mums are like with their own sons? "Never done anything wrong, my son." Is she going to be any different? But her thoughts are true. "He never did anything wrong." Mary feels so sad because she sees how much he is suffering. And Jesus sees the sadness in Mary that Mary feels, even though they both know that God is with them. They can't even say anything to each other because they're so sad. Let's look at our hearts again. Have you ever been very sad? Or do you know someone who has been very sad? Being sad can really hurt someone's heart a lot. Sometimes our hearts are sad because we cannot be with someone we love. If you can't remember a time when you were very sad, show Jesus your heart. Show him what it looked like when you felt that way. Picture Jesus loving you. When you show him your sad heart, then when you're ready, ask Jesus to help make your heart more like his. Now, I can remember, for me, one of the greatest sadnesses was when my mum ran off with another man. She ran off with Jesus. She ran off with Jesus. Happens a lot, you know. To me, it was a sad day. For my mum, it was a great day. For my mum, it was a time of no more sorrow, no more pain. And I thank God, because of the truth of his word, because of the cross, because of these 3 days that went on, I'll see my mum again. And we'll be able to hug and laugh and dance and enjoy each other's company. Because there's life in the cross. There's a risen Lord that we're celebrating. Let's turn to the fifth station. Do you want to read, Grace? From 32 of Matthew 27 through to 56, please.
"As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. And when they'd crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves, casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him: 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then 2 bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, 'He saved others, yet he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we'll believe in him.' He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.' The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. About 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick and gave it him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come and save him." When Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last, at that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women also were there looking on from a distance. They'd followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee.
Before we rush on to that point, there's an Orthodox story in one of the Stations of the Cross where in the crowd a woman pushes through and she bathes and wipes the face of Jesus, and it appears to leave an imprint of his face on the cloth. Many of us have probably heard of the Turin Shroud. Many people have tried to prove it, disprove it. Who knows? But this is part of where the story comes from. It's part of the Orthodox tradition. And you know, Jesus looks at these women and tells them not to worry. Things are fine. How can it be that the Son of God, who is going through all this pain and through all this agony, can just turn and look at us and say, "Everything's okay. Just trust me.
Yeah.
Just trust me."
Yeah. Wow.
Let's just look for a moment at ourselves. Have you ever helped someone? Have you ever done something that helped someone feel better? Sometimes you have done something that you thought was very small or unimportant. Bringing a glass of water or juice to someone, or even giving someone a helping hand with a chore. Maybe it's just a smile at someone that looks sad. As you think of these times you helped, show Jesus your heart. As you picture Jesus loving you, maybe you can also picture Jesus leaving a picture of his face on your heart. What a wonderful heart you have. This is about you and me. The work of the cross is about God doing a work in you, doing a work in me, bringing us to the point where we understand more about him and more about his love for us. Let's just pray that prayer together. Omnipotent and eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and support of those in trouble, listen to the pleading of suffering humanity so that all men may rejoice in having received the help of mercy in all their needs, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us move on to the seventh station. This is Jesus. You know, that walk, and Grace and I have walked, we've actually been to Jerusalem, we've walked that walk towards Golgotha. It's not level. It's twisting. It was narrow road. Imagine there's a crowd there. They didn't have TV. They're looking for sport. They're bored. A good crucifixion today. And the people just went mad with it. And Jesus is actually, the soldiers are having to push their way through the crowds. And Jesus has got this cross on his back and forcing his way through. It wasn't a stroll to Golgotha. It wasn't, well, I'm just carrying this piece of wood on my back till I get there. He had to push his way through. Had to force his way through. Do you know why? Because 2009 years later, he sees you. He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. And he sees me. And he sees that you and I need a Saviour.
Amen.
You and I need a Lord.
Yeah.
And he's doing it for you and for me. And he's pushing through.
Amen.
And he's pushing through. We read, he says, how very tired and weak and sad Jesus is now. Even though he keeps trying to walk with his heavy cross, he can't keep going. The noise of the crowd, the soldiers, making him feel even worse, then Jesus falls because he can't just take another step. Let's look at ourselves again. Have you ever had a hard time with something? Oh no. It's always easy, isn't it, life? Is it? Maybe you can't do something the way you want, or you feel as it's if you were keep messing up on something. How does your heart feel when it happens? Maybe your heart feels the way Jesus felt when he fell this second time. When you show Jesus your heart. Jesus knows your heart. He knows how your heart feels. Let's just pray together. O God, our help, look upon us, so that we who are oppressed by weights of our sins may through your mercy receive you in freedom of spirit. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, these are good prayers to think of and simple prayers to pray when we go home at times. When you're just feeling low and not knowing what to say. Just asking the Lord Jesus to help us. So often we forget that he's there and he does want to help us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to bless us. Let's move on quickly to the eighth station. I'm not going to read those scriptures there. We've read most of those, and there are some extra ones there that you can look at your leisure. After Jesus gets up, he continues the road carrying this heavy cross. He passes some women who are crying because they are sad to see Jesus suffering. Some of these people will have seen Jesus along the way earlier in life. Some of these people will have come into contact with Jesus and Jesus will have ministered to them. Some of these people will have known Jesus touch them and receive healing from them. Some of these people will have actually received food from Jesus. And some of them were supporting him financially in his ministry. So the full aspect of life, people that he touched, people that were in need of him and people that ministered to him to help him. There were ladies, there were men who supported him financially in his work in the ministry. But instead of thinking only of himself and how bad he feels, Jesus tells the women not to keep crying because of him. He tells them instead to take care of others and especially to take care of their children. You see, Jesus is not focused on himself.
No.
He's looking at the tens of thousands of millions that he sees, that he's bringing into the kingdom of God. For us, sometimes it is easy just to think about ourselves, about what is not going the way we want it. Young people can often be like that, but it then runs on into older people. And then into old age, we can get quite selfish.
Yeah.
We can get quite self-centered.
Yeah.
It's about all about me and nothing else. And if I don't get my own way, then everybody's going to know about it.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Or about problems that we have. So often easy to focus on our problems.
Yeah.
And make them bigger than what they are.
Yeah.
Jesus is far bigger than any problem that you and I will ever have. It is very hard then to think about other people when we're focusing on our own problems and our own situation, isn't it? It's the last thing we think about somebody else. What about me and my problems? I'm having my pity party. Nobody else is invited. But yet Jesus is in this situation right now. He could have said, well, you know, why should I care about anybody else? Nobody cares about me. But he's focused on people because his mission is to the people. A heart that thinks about others and remembers other people, that's the kind of heart Jesus has. Let's pray this prayer together. Oh God, you chose rather to be merciful than to be angry with those who hope in you. Grant that we may truly grieve for the evil we have done, and so deserve to obtain the grace of your consolation through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. It's great, isn't it, when you can thank God because he's merciful to you. Because every one of us would deserve some form of punishment for what we've said or done, our thoughts, our deeds. And yet he's been merciful to us. On to the 9 stations. So Jesus is now so tired he can hardly take another step. He's been walking along that dusty road, and I'll tell you, they are dusty roads, aren't they? It will be the heat of the day. He's no energy left. He just can't go on anymore. Jesus falls down in the street a third time. Jesus asks God to help him, and Jesus gets up again. And even on through it, it's hard for him to do. Again, well, let's look at our hearts when we've really tried to do our best. I've not been able to succeed. Have you ever been there? You've tried your hardest. You've tried your best. And you haven't been able to succeed. It's easy to feel like Jesus did. Sometimes other people just keep yelling at you about something you do. Or sometimes other people make fun of the way we do things. Ever been there? People keep yelling at you? I don't know, maybe they have. Can you remember the time when you felt this tired in your heart, when you seemed to be having a sad time or a hard time with someone or something? Look at how your heart felt and show your heart to Jesus. Then you really ask God to help you when you feel this way. You know, when you're feeling that way, there's only one person to go to. And it's Jesus. When you're feeling beaten down, when you're feeling downcast, the only place you can go is to Jesus. He has all the answers. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. On to that 10th station. Finally they reach the hill of Golgotha. It's the end of the road. Jesus knows that he will die there. But before he dies, the soldiers will do more to him. They pull off his long robe, almost take all of his clothing off him. Jesus stands in front of the crowd with only a small piece of cloth covering his body parts. Jesus asks God to help him remember that he's not alone, that God is with him through all this. God's with you in every situation and every circumstance. Let's look at your heart. It's hard for you to share or to give away something that you like. Ever been there? You know, you've got something that you really like and your mum says to you, give it to so and so. But it's my favourite toy. Give it away. But I don't want to. Goes for grown-ups too, really. Do you sometimes like to keep everything to yourself? It's mine. It's mine. And nobody else is going to play with it. It's mine and nobody else is going to use it. I can hear some mutterings and some murmurings somewhere. Obviously, it must have happened. Do you ever let something of yours be the reason for bad feelings or for bad words between you and someone else? Amazing, isn't it? Just a small thing can bring bad feelings. Something that will rust or fall apart or wear out, and you can fall out over it. Stupid. There's far, far more important things in our lives. Again, let's look into our hearts. It's, you know, this time of Easter is about preparing our hearts. Preparing our hearts as believers for the future in God. A question to you. Is it hard for you to share or to give away something that you like? I don't know. To some of us it is. If you remember a time when something like that, this happened, remember how your heart felt. Then show your heart to Jesus. You can ask Jesus to help you have a heart that is like his heart. Can you imagine God? This is his only son. God is giving him away to death. He's doing a swap. He's swapping his son, who's perfect and spotless, for me and for you, who are filthy sinners. And God is exchanging his son for an inferior product. Wow. But guess what? God's got some bigger plans. God's got bigger plans through Jesus, so that he's going to change that inferior product into something that is the best. And he's starting with you and me. Let's pray that prayer on the 10th station. You protect those who hope in you, Lord. Without though, there's no strength, no holiness. Extend your mercy evermore and more to us, that drawn by you, we may use the good things of this world only in passing, and not lose the treasures of heaven through Christ our Lord. Amen. Don't lose the treasures in heaven. Don't lose the treasures in heaven. You have got treasures in heaven, all prepared for you. Finally, on the 11th station there, you see in that picture that they're nailing Jesus to a cross. Jesus is still suffering more and more hurt. The nails through his, piercing his hands and his feet and being tied to the cross. And yet Jesus looks at these people, and instead of saying bad things about them, he says to God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Forgive them. He looks at his mother and tells her to take care of others. You know? He's still thinking about you and me. When he looks at his mother and says, take care of these others. Even when he's dying, he's thinking of other people. Let's look at our hearts now. Can you think of a time when someone hurt you, maybe with unkind words or actions? Was it hard for you to forgive that person? Suddenly, something flashes into your mind. And the moment it does, do you know what you need to do? You need to say, I forgive. I forgive. Yeah. You know, sometimes God brings things to our remembrance so that we can deal with these things. Yeah. And we say, I forgive. There are other times when the devil brings things to our mind. Yeah. To torment us. And you know what you need to do? You need to say, I forgive. And guess what? He'll soon stop bringing them to you. Because it has no lever. It has no way of controlling you. And you can keep moving forward in God. And that's how you know that you're coming through in victory. And you'll be like as Jesus did when they were crucifying him on a cross. He was coming through in victory. Let's look at the 12th station. The cross is erected with Jesus on it. And finally, after the long walk, falling three times, after having been beaten by men, being nailed to a cross, he finally bows his head and dies. He dismissed his spirit, and then he bowed his head and died. He didn't just die. He took authority over the situation. He was still in charge. And he dismissed his spirit and bowed his head and died. He was still in control. Now that this part of his life is over, there's nothing left for Jesus to give or to do. And Jesus has given his life for all of us. It's over. The Pharisees and the Sadducees think this is great. We've got him. We've beat him. We'll have no more trouble from him. But let's look further on. Let's look at our heart. Did you ever feel that you wanted to make something better? Or that if you had only tried harder, something would change that you would want to change? Or maybe you felt that you did not try hard enough at something and something bad happened. If you can think of anything at this time, then show Jesus your heart and let him love you. And when you're ready, ask Jesus to help you with your heart and to be more like his heart. You see, Jesus left us a pattern, and everything about the death and the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus is so that we can be like him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who by the will of the Father and the action of the Holy Spirit, your death gave life to the world through the mystery of your sacred passion, deliver us from every fault and from every evil, and grant that we may ever be faithful to your law and may never be separated from you, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Paige is going to come and read for me now, please. Thank you.
As evening approached, Joseph, a rich man from Arimathea, who was one of Jesus' followers, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. And Pilate issued an order to release it to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a long linen cloth. He placed it in his own new tomb, which had been carved out of the rock. Then he rolled a great stone across the entrance as he left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting nearby watching. The next day, on the first day of the Passover ceremonies, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. Then they told him, "Sir, we remember that what deceived once said, well, as was still alive, after 3 days I will be raised from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body and then telling everyone he came back to life. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at the first. Pilate replied, "Take God and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it.
And they're still panicking. They're still afraid of a dead man.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's look at the 13th station of the cross, and there we see Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man. He supported his ministry and others, and they took down this Jesus' lifeless body from the cross. There's no more pain, there's no more suffering for Jesus. It's all over. Mary's mother holds him tenderly in her arms. How sad Jesus' friends are. You know, I can just imagine if you've lost a loved one, you know, the pain that you feel and the pain that they were feeling, that they'd lost not just a loved one, but they'd lost a friend, they'd lost a leader, but they'd also lost, as they knew, the Son of God. They knew him as the Messiah, the Son of God. Let's look at our hearts. Is there someone you love who has died? When you remember that person, how does your heart look? You can show your heart to Jesus and show Jesus that what you miss about the person who died. Jesus knows what your heart looks like and loves you when you show him your heart. He can help even when your heart becomes like this. I said to you earlier, you know, I can remember vividly when my mum ran away with Jesus. She wasn't thinking about us anymore. I think she was being a bit selfish, really. But I know she's in a better place. And I thank God for my mum. God can see our hearts, how we feel. He can see the pain. He can see the joy. You know, you may have lost a loved one. You may have lost a close friend. Family members. Just let Jesus in and let Jesus handle that situation. That's why he died. He died to take away all pain and suffering and sorrows for you and for me. Let's just pray that prayer there. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who at that sixth hour ascended that gibbet of the cross for the redemption of the world and shed your precious blood for the remission of our sins, grant, we humbly beseech you, that after our death we may enter with joy the gates of paradise, you who live and reigns forever and ever. Amen. 14th station shows that Jesus has been laid in a tomb. There are two places in Jerusalem that they like to proclaim, which is the tomb where Jesus was laid. We've seen them both. One of them that we saw, to roll the stone away on your own would be a big task, even for two or three people. Jesus' friends wash and wrap his body in a sheet, as has been read to us by Paige. They gently laid him into the tomb. He was coming up to the Sabbath, and they weren't allowed to touch any dead bodies, they weren't allowed to do anything, so they just placed him in the tomb, that they'd come back later and anoint him and prepare his body for that final burial. They close, they roll that stone in front of the tomb, and darkness is on the tomb. The body lies still and cold. Friends go home exhausted. What a day. What a day. The best thing that they'd had in their lives suddenly taken from them. What a day of sadness. What a day of pain. They'd seen so much hurt and so much agony. They'd seen so much hatred, so much bitterness and jealousy against Jesus. Can you remember a time when you were very sad to say goodbye to someone? Maybe you were leaving a person only for a short time. Seems insignificant in one sense, but you know, when you're close to people and you say goodbye to them, and it's just maybe even for a short time, but you feel that pain because there's such a connection there. I know we have friends in the States, and in particular Kerry and Vonnie. I remember times when we said goodbye to them. It's been painful. They were family. They became family. We let them in. They became close. We became close. And when you let people in who become family and they become close to you, even though they're not blood family, but suddenly they become that spiritual family, it is closer than flesh and blood. And separating from family is painful. And Jesus knows what it's like, and the people knew what it's like, and you know what it's like when you're separated from family. You want to be with them, but you can't. There are reasons that prevent you. Even when someone dies. Let's just take a few moments just to think about family, friends. You know, that we've been sad to say goodbye to. And just ponder on those thoughts for a moment, and just lift your hearts to the Lord. Just lift your friends up to Jesus. There are friends that you have that don't even know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Just lift them to Him. Let's pray. Lord God, you willed that we should be baptized into the death of your Son, Jesus our Saviour. Grant us sincere repentance, so that passing through the death, we may be reborn into the joy of newness of life. We ask this through him who died, was buried and rose again for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Eric, have you remembered your reading? Are you going to come and read for me? No? Do I have to do it? Are you going to get a volunteer instead of me? Who are you going to pick? When I give you a reading, I expect you to be here and I expect you to bring your readings. That is why I gave it you. But I shall forgive you this time, as I am preaching and teaching on forgiveness. And I still love you, in spite of you forgetting it. Who's going to read for Eric then, please? From St. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 27 to verse 27. You're going to do it, Bill? Thank you, Bill. Praise God. From 25 through to 27, it's just a couple of verses of John chapter 11. And then we're going to sing a hymn.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world."
He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise his name. Normally there's about 13 stations. Well, I found a couple of other things that that I was looking for. And this final picture, if you know it, it's in Istanbul. Now, that's a Muslim country now. But prior to that, Christians were there. And this is a mosaic that is in an old church in Istanbul. And it's just portrays Jesus as he's risen from the dead in a glorious body. You know, his friends were absolutely surprised and over the moon that Jesus was alive. He had a new kind of body, a body full of light. No longer tired, sad or suffering, and no more pain, no more tears, the Word of God tells us. Yes, he's alive in a new way. Jesus will live forever now in this new and special way. And so will you and I, as we take Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we shall realise that he's alive. And he's in our lives today. We're going to sing a hymn together. And we're going to sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Son of man and angels say, hallelujah. So we're going to sing two or three hymns and just celebrate his incy.
Stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. Then they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him. At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen.
Amen.